You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, Jillian, I finally get to get in the studio with you.
I know. I'm so excited, Latrice. We've been talking about this for a while, and now we're here.
We are here. Yes. So this is like a test podcast for us, right?
Absolutely.
So we'll talk about a little bit of everything today, or what?
Yeah, we're going to focus today.
We're going to focus. That's our theme, focus.
So, okay. Yeah. So I'm super excited about today. And today is December the 1st, 2018. So we are marching down into 2019.
We are.
So you got a lot of stuff going on, Latrice, right?
I do. I wanted to talk about you first, though.
Because
I mean, the internet exploded last year,
yeah,
right?
It did. Right around Christmas time, I bought some Google Home devices because I just like technology, obviously. And to my surprise, when I asked Google, who is Jesus, it couldn't give me a response. And just organically, I grabbed my son's notebook and wrote down Jesus, Buddha, Allah, and a couple other religious leaders and asked the question to the Google Home device, you know, who is Buddha? And it gave me an answer. Who is Allah? It gave me an answer. But when it came to Jesus,
What did it say? What did Google say?
I can't remember the exact words because it's almost been a year ago, but it says something like, I don't have that information. And
wow.
So
artificial intelligence in general is interesting. Just the fact that you can ask a question that has a response. I mean, we've come a long way with technology.
We have. And it's going to get even faster. I mean, it's going to continue to grow. You think about artificial intelligence when it talks about facial recognition. You have that even when you're posting on your Facebook page.
Right.
So someone will automatically recognize that that's you. So it's not going anywhere. And so when you think about the fact that Google has censored a response for Jesus and as believers, that was a big issue for me. And so, again, I posted on Facebook a couple of days later. It had 8 million views. So
wow.
You would think that would be significant.
8 million views?
Right now I checked it. It's like 8.9 million views.
Wow.
So you would think 8.9 million views, Google would do something. And they did. But what they did is instead of adding the answer to who is Jesus, they actually eliminated any reference to any well-known or popular religious figure.
So you're telling me if I was to say, hey, Google, who is Buddha?
It would tell you religion is complicated and I'm still learning.
We need to get Google Voice in a studio.
We do.
we need to get them here.
Yeah, we need to. I mean, if I did it on my Android device, now originally it was just on your home device.
Right.
But now if you do it on your Android device, it's the exact same thing.
So, okay, that's really interesting. So before it would tell you who was Buddha, who was any other religious leader.
Yeah, Buddha, Allah.
So the solution to who is Jesus was to eliminate everybody and not like actually say Jesus was the Son of God.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So today is, as I mentioned, today is December 1st. So I decided, actually, I was reminded by my pastor. We just happened to see him last night. My husband and I were having a date night and he was leaving the restaurant. We were coming in. He said, Jillian, you know, it's almost been a year. They haven't checked. So I'm starting a campaign. December 1st up until Christmas, and it's going to say, hey Buddha, all I want for Christmas is Jesus.
Hey Google,
all I want for Christmas is Jesus. And so I'm asking them, and I'm, you know, add all the religious leaders in it. There's no Christmas without Jesus. Again, you think about baby Jesus is the purpose of Christmas. And so I'm hoping that that will move the needle and have some conversations. But when we think about it, just has a lot of ramifications. I mean, when you think about our younger generation, that's all they know is artificial intelligence. You can get a little kid who's 4 or 5 years old and they're talking to devices. They're moving. All they know is technology. And if we
right.
don't stop it now, that will be a major issue. So
right. And Google is everywhere now. I mean, I go in a store. We talked about this, and you can buy all kinds of Google devices, home devices,
and
that
I
you
love
can purchase.
Them.
Yeah,
I love them. I mean, I got everything Google. I got Gmail. I got Google. I mean, I love it.
So how are you planning to influence this? Like, what is your thought process?
Yeah,
behind this?
And so again, I think you would have thought last year if we had 8.9 million views and people watching a video, and you have people like Franklin Graham commenting. Mm-hmm. That there would be a change. And so I'm going to reach out to leaders like that to say, hey, post a video. There is a change.org petition that I'm asking people to sign. And so I'm hoping that if we get enough voices to say something via social media, we comment it, but we didn't take action. And I just think if we take action, Google needs to do something. That's first thing. Secondly, I'm asking people to don't buy the Google devices for Christmas. I was just in Best Buy the other day, and they're huge display. And I wanted to actually buy one of the light bulbs associated, because I could say, hey, Google, turn off the lights. So I'm asking them to stop purchasing that item.
So you're like going to do a huge demonstration, like we are going to not buy Absolutely. Google products until you add Jesus, an explanation of who Jesus is.
Or not just Jesus. I mean, it's all about censorship. So Google is like most corporations, they talk about diversity and inclusion, right?
Right.
So if we're going to preach that, we need to walk that. And so if you're talking about being diverse and inclusive and you say religion is complicated, it takes my kids 9 months to go to one grade to the next, right? They start in September and school is over in June. It has taken Google almost a year to figure out that religion is not complicated. If I go to the regular Webster's dictionary and I look up the definition of Jesus, it will tell me that. Why have they decided to take out all the religious leaders? So I'm not just advocating for Jesus. It just happens to be I'm doing it around Christmas time. I'm saying you need to add in all religious leaders. There's a definition of who they are. If I ask the question, who is President George W. Bush, it's going to tell me who he is. If I ask the Google device, who is Obama, it's going to tell me. So Jesus is one of the most popular, if not the popular person that lived on this earth. And so why would you discriminate against that person?
Wow, that's such a hot topic. I'm excited to follow this. Yeah. That's a hot topic.
Yeah, it is. So we'll see what happens. So
So can I buy a Google device for Christmas? What'd you say?
No, you cannot buy a Google device. And even though I used the one that I purchased last year, I have three in my home. I bought one for my mother-in-law, I bought one for my mom. They're connected. So for example, and I love the technology. I can broadcast a message to my mom. I can say, broadcast. Hey, mom, I love you. And she will hear that. She's not in my house. She will hear because they're connected. So I absolutely love technology. Obviously, I work for a technology company. But it's a big issue. And it's a bigger issue if we don't say anything.
So I'm going to have to sometime today ask Siri, because, you know, I'm an Apple head, right? Yep. I love Apple products.
Yeah.
Siri acknowledges Jesus.
Siri acknowledged that they know Jesus. And again, the programming, you know, the response from Google was they were trying to be sensitive. I can't remember the exact words, but to me, that's a lame excuse. It's a person, that program.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So I'll be following up with you on that, because that is exciting. And I mean, we're doing a full blown demonstration. I'm Team Jillian, so I'm going to roll with you.
Yeah,
with this,
you got to roll.
How this goes.
Yes, I'm super excited about that. And I'm more excited to see them take action.
Right.
So again, it got a lot of noise after Christmas. I'm being very intentional to do it before Christmas, because what do companies listen to? They listen to the bottom line. They don't want anyone to impact their profit and their numbers.
Smart.
Yes.
Right.
And so I was thinking about doing it on the anniversary of January 21st, but I said, let's do it now. And today is December 1st. We're going to mark, you know, I think about the first day of Christmas. Hey, today is the first day of December. Let's get the message out. So I've already got some collateral material. I've already got a website that I'm going to be launching on today. And we're going to get people to sign the petition and get some noise over to Google. We're going to tweet. We're going to Facebook. We're going to Instagram. We're going to do a number of things. So
amazing.
Yeah.
So, Jillian, you do a lot of things. You have a full-time job. You're an entrepreneur, obviously, right?
Yes.
Doing some things on the side. But I heard you just say earlier that you and your husband had a date night.
We did. We did. So interesting enough, you know, as women, we got to get it in when we can't get it in. Right.
Someone
asked me, so how do you do all this stuff? I said, how do you not do it? I don't want to leave this earth with some unfulfilled dreams. So I do a lot. So my husband and I need to balance it. Just like we're planning, like we plan to come here, right?
Right.
You have to plan date night. So my husband's friend was actually being inducted to his high school basketball Hall of Fame. And so we wanted to support him. And we said, we'll just make this a date night. So most of my date nights include some type of sports activity.
Right. But he likes, your husband's a sports fan. He's a coach.
Yes.
He's an athletic. And
yes.
You are too.
Yeah.
So that works.
Well, I've got indoctrinated into loving sports. It was not an option for me. My husband, family is very athletic. His uncle and his brother played for the NFL. He played basketball overseas. So, you know, you come into my house, ESPN is going to be on every television. Sometimes you get into my car, I might be listening to ESPN unconsciously.
Right.
So it's a part of my life. So, you know, I talk to women all the time who say, I hate sports. Well, you married a man who loves sports. You better start learning
Love a little bit, like
learn a little bit, talk his language.
Right.
So we went to the game. I didn't really pay attention to the game. I was there to support the gentleman who was being inducted. And then we went to have dinner and we had a good time.
Okay. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So how often do you guys get date nights in? Like, what's your, like, how do you do it?
So we don't, so in addition to being married, we also have three boys. So our schedule is very packed. And so we don't have a scheduled date night. We just see when there's a opening where there's no games that our kids are playing or there's no type of event that he has to go to or an event that I have to go to for work. We try to squeeze it in. That's what I mean by you got to get it in. So like there was no game yesterday. There was an event that was we had a short window to see the inauguration or the
induction, right?
And then after that, we went and had a date. So we just try to squeeze it in when we can.
No, that's good because I think sometimes there's pressure to like schedule for a whole month. And,
yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, that's unrealistic.
Yeah.
I mean, the type of my lifestyle I know and a lot of my friends, you know, we tend to kind of mute those points when people start talking, do this for the whole month because life is so unpredictable when you are doing, you're entrepreneur and you work a job and you have children.
Oh, yeah. I remember when we first got pregnant, a close friend of ours said, made this statement. I always remember he said, your life as you know it today will never be the same. And so children really change the dynamics of dating or going out, traveling, all of that, because not only are, you know, you're accustomed to you and your spouse now, it's a family of five versus it was just me and him. And so to make those adjustments, I got to look at Mackenzie's schedule, Robert's schedule, Jonathan's schedule before I even think about what Glenn and I are going to do. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
I try to schedule something as much as we can. I mean,
right.
we're busy
yep.
right now.
Yeah.
And we also have three children. So
yeah,
it's crazy
know.
In our house.
Yeah.
And they're 4, 6, and 8.
Wow.
So.
And they're younger.
They're
yeah.
younger.
Mm-hmm.
And they want, you know, mom and dad.
Yeah, absolutely.
At home.
Yep.
And we went to the movies last week to see Creed.
Okay.
And we went out to eat afterwards. That was our date night for the weekend. It was great. It was just adult time.
I didn't go see that movie yet.
It was so good.
Was
you got
to
check it out.
Okay.
Yes, it was a good movie.
Oh, wonderful. So tell me, Latrice, you got a whole bunch of stuff going on in your life as well with the City of Detroit and all the work you're doing there. You're an entrepreneur, business owner. You're and your husband. Actually, you're a dual entrepreneur because you got two businesses,
I am. I consider myself a serial entrepreneur.
A serial entrepreneur.
That's right.
Yep. So tell me about the new business that you and your husband opened.
So we just opened a pizza franchise.
Okay.
Really never was on our radar to do,
right.
but it was just an opportunity. We decided to move forward. So we sell we slang pizza.
We slang pizza. Yes.
And
I love it.
We work with a lot of young people. So we're kind of a social enterprise, meaning we're triple bottom line. So it's not just about the profit. It's also about the people.
That's good.
So we do a lot of work with like our Central High School students in Detroit.
All right.
We train them on entrepreneurship and soft skills. They come in, they make the pizzas. We teach them how to do the work, but we have a classroom set as well.
Wow.
Which helps them to kind of gain some life skills as they move forward, you know, whatever they're going to do next, whether it's college or trade school or another job.
That's good. That's good. And you call it a triple bottom line?
Yeah. It's basically like the people, the planet. You know, we care about the planet. We care about the people. And we definitely care about the profit.
That's wonderful. So tell me about the facility and the building that you're in. Because it's my understanding that did the president come visit you or somebody from his office?
No, not so yes. And this is a controversial thing because when you start talking anything Republican these days, people stop listening to your podcast or coming to your pizza shop.
That's right.
But they did. We had so Ben Carson was in town. And he wanted to
Big come. Ben was in town.
He was in town.
In the D.
And you know he's from?
I know.
He has roots here in Detroit.
Yep.
And anyway, I mean, I think he was an excellent neurosurgeon, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So I tend to
keep
stay
it at that
lane, right?
Yeah, right.
But he came out to check out our space, the building, kind of the project, and he was able to eat some of our, he asked us for a slice of pizza. It was pretty cool.
Great.
I mean, it was interesting.
Good.
His wife was amazing.
Right. Now, why was he there? I mean, what was the project? Because it's my understanding that the building is very significant. They want to do some things in that particular space.
Yeah, they want to bring some social programs there, and I guess he's involved with some things on a federal level
okay.
To bring more resources to that community.
Great.
I'm not 100% versed on everything that they're trying to do, but they're just trying to make it a hub where people can come and get the resources they
gotcha.
Need.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful.
So it was interesting, you know.
Yeah. So serial entrepreneur. So that's the pizza side. What else do you have
going
on?
So I own a healthcare agency.
Okay.
We work. It's called Impact Community Health.
Okay.
We work with moms and babies. So we really work on fighting infant mortality rates. They are extremely high in Michigan and especially in Detroit amongst African-American women. That means that babies die before they turn one at a significantly higher rate than any other state or
community.
City.
Right.
Exactly. Wow. So I have social workers and nurses that go into these young women's homes and they speak with them about factors and help them kind of along their pregnancy, help them along, up until the baby turns one.
Wow.
And so we are a state agency with the state of Michigan. So
that's great.
It's great.
That's great.
I'm having a good time doing it.
That's wonderful. So pizza and babies.
Yes, pizza and babies.
And then what do you do for the city of Detroit?
Man, I forget about my city. I'm a district manager with the city of Detroit in the Department of Neighborhoods Mayor's Office. So I work out of the mayor's office and we work with, I have a, there are seven districts in Detroit. So I'm one of the districts and I represent one of the districts and we pretty much help people with
what's
light issues.
What's the district?
District one.
Okay.
Yeah. They got to put me at number one.
That's right. That's right.
So we deal with blight issues. We deal with planning and development. We're basically the liaison to the mayor.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
So it's pretty, it's an amazing job to work. Working
now, how did you end up? So just for the listeners. So Latrice and I go way back.
Yes, we go way back. Yeah. We should have that conversation one day because my perspective, Jillian was amazing. When I was a kid, I was like, she's somebody to look up to. Just the
can
way
you
she
believe she
herself.
Just said she was a kid? She was, a kid.
Was a kid.
That's amazing. So when you were
probably 14, 15 when
my
I met
goodness.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you was 14, 15 and I was 18.
You was 18, I knew, right? That's hilarious. And I was calling her my mentor.
That's right.
That's funny.
Right. That is. No, I wasn't. I'm just, you know, I wasn't.
No,
18,
no, I know I was, that. I was just throwing you a bone.
I think
Julia.
I was, I don't know how much, I was significantly older than you, but I don't know how that happened. But anyway, so Latrice was my mentee and I checked up on her at her high school. Was it your prom?
It might have been homecoming.
It was your homecoming. So I snuck in to see if this girl that I admired was being a Christian girl.
Yeah,
so.
Whatever that means. I can't tell you what, after she left, what happened. But,
Lord. No, but I snuck in at Cass Tech to see what she was doing. So
say that name again. What school was that?
CT.
Cass Tech.
Yes. That's a great school. It still is a great school. I need a t-shirt to say all my friends graduated from Cass Tech.
I'll get you one. I'll make you one of those.
All right.
Yeah. I'll make sure you get one of those.
Yep. So you work for the city, sell pizza with your hubby, mother of three. What am I missing? Working, to address the infant mortality in city trade. That is a phenomenal woman. Talk about a Proverbs 31 woman. Listen. You are living the dream, right?
God is good.
Yes, he is.
God
is
good. I mean, like, as a young person, when I was younger, I knew I would do something. I just wanted to do something to help people. I didn't know what that would look like and how this journey would unfold. And it's funny, so many people say, you're doing too much.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing so much? And I'm like, you know what? Like, I really have to silence those opinions.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's working.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have the grace to do it right now.
Absolutely. So do it. You know, the thing is, when people say that to me, as long as my husband and I are happy,
right?
That's all that matters.
As long as y'all in agreement
with
it.
Well, if we're in agreement and my boys are not feeling neglected.
Right.
Like today, I have a full, like you, we talked about that even when we were coming in. We have a full agenda, but my boys are cared for. There's food in the refrigerator they can grab and get.
Right.
We spent time together last night. We hug and we cuddle. But today I got a whole bunch of stuff that mommy needs to take care of.
Yes. And then there are some things that, I'm not at home cooking and cleaning all the time, but I'm outsourcing some of that stuff.
Absolutely.
Because it still has to get done.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I still have to have a clean house for my husband and my children. And if we're busy, we just take a little extra money.
That's a Proverbs 31. My sister religiously comes over. She was over last night. And so when my kids came home from school, the house smelled good. There was food there. I thank God for her.
Yeah, and it's funny because I don't think my kids know who actually cleans the house because they're at school when it happens. Right. They just know when it comes home, clean. It's clean.
So, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, so when they get older, you know, they're going to really think I was Superwoman.
Oh, absolutely.
Mommy kept a clean house.
Oh, absolutely.
She had a couple businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my kids know it's auntie because when she's there, when they come home, she's there. My problem is that I need to make sure they know how to do it.
Right, that's true.
So she takes care of certain, you know, the living room,
the main room,
mm-hmm. but I don't, you know, I close the door in their room.
Oh, absolutely. My kids definitely clean their room.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what else is going on? What's going on tonight? You talked about, you got some plans?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to, there's an event, I think it's at the Music Hall, Best in Black. Mm-hmm. So I guess they're highlighting Black businesses, like, who are excellent.
And, oh, wonderful.
And, you know, movers and the shakers,
yeah.
whether it's in, I guess, food or
right.
whether it's in education. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to kind of being
I
in
saw
that.
I saw something about the Best in Black, or I thought it was 313 Best or something like that. But I saw people asking to be nominated, or they found out that they were a recipient of some award.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't go last year, so I wanted to go this year to just get an idea of like
what it is.
Yeah, kind of get a feel for what the atmosphere is like.
Yeah, we need to interview some of those people.
We should,
because yeah,
I mean, there's some great people in Detroit doing mm-hmm. amazing things.
That's
not just
wonderful.
black, white, all
yeah.
colors, but I mean, of course, you know. Interview those Black people, right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I used to years ago, I ran this I did something called Detroit Faces in Places, because oftentimes the traditional media, I felt as though we were kind of recycling the same people.
Right.
You know, I'm like, well, Detroit is a pretty large city. It can't be the same people all the time doing amazing things. You know, what about the person that owns the cleaners on 7 Mile Road, and it's been a family ran business for, you know, 50, 60 years? That's an amazing responsibility.
Right.
And so what I tried to do with Detroit Faces and Places is highlight those individuals like they were doing. That's when social media was just getting started, and we would promote them through email marketing and stuff like that. So it's good to see that we're now acknowledging them through different types of events, like The Best in Black, is it called?
Yeah, I think it's called The Best in Black.
Best in Black.
Brings me to a point, though. We've been having a discussion about everybody wanting spotlight, everybody wanting to
yeah.
be nominated, everybody wanting a platform to speak. Like, it's like since social media has like evolved.
Yeah.
Everybody's an expert. Everybody's a business owner. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Everybody's a consultant. Everybody is a coach.
Right. Everybody wants to quit their job.
Yeah.
And have this business.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Social media. I mean, even I was talking to my son the other day, and he spends his time flipping page after
page.
How
old is he?
That's my 13-year-old.
Okay.
Well, both of them do. My 16 and my 13-year-old. But yeah, social media has created, I would say, superstar monsters, superstar suckers, and suckers in a way, not suckers, but they soak in. They want to be, you know, they want to be acknowledged. They want the limelight, and they want to be featured. Like, you know, we tell our own story. I was thinking about even for myself. Like, I have an event that I'm judging. What am I doing tonight? There's a hackathon that's taking
okay.
place at University of Michigan. So I'm one of the judges.
Okay.
And so I promoted that. And after I promoted, I was like, well, why do I got to tell people I'm doing that? It's just the norm. Like, if you don't kind of toot your own horn,
who will?
Right. And so I understand that to a certain degree. But when it gets to every single thing that you do has to be promoted, like I'm walking down the street, I'm eating this hamburger, that can be just a bit too much.
Yeah, but what about, like, you know, I own a business. I guess I'm kind of calling for receipts right now. Me and you had that conversation. Like, show me your receipts.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say that I own a pizza business, but you can't come get a pizza from me.
Right. Absolutely.
You understand
yeah,
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm just curious because I feel like everybody's a business owner now.
Yeah. Where? Show me your client list.
Yeah.
Show
me your substance.
Right.
You know?
Show me your successes.
Yeah. And maybe even some of your failures, because,
right.
you know, what risk have you really taken? Like,
right. Yeah. It's interesting to see that everyone has a web page, and the web page is not concerning to me. It's everybody is somebody, meaning everybody is the expert in social media. Everybody is expert in marketing. Everybody's expert in developing small businesses.
Right.
But I heard a woman the other day, she was giving advice. She was a sales manager and she was talking. It just happened to be on LinkedIn, and she was giving advice on selling. She was 24 years old. So as a person almost twice her age.
Okay.
I'm not saying she has no value, but does she really have a platform for that large of an audience, right? So if you are a sales manager, how long did it take you in your career? Because traditionally when you graduate from college, you're what?
22, 23.
You're 22. Yeah. So let's just say she's been a sales manager for 2 years. And now you're telling me how to sell. I really can't listen to you because you still got milk on the side of your lips.
Oh, not milk.
Milk, baby. I mean, again, she was selling herself as an expert in sales. And I work with people that have been sales as long as she's been on the earth.
I'm going to tell you what the real problem is. It's all the sheep, all the people who just blindly follow people.
Right.
Because they put expert in front of their name.
Right. Or even if they don't put the expert, but they look the part.
Ooh, that's
because
true.
You can really look the part. You get a great photographer. You get great scenery. You have a great setting.
Get your hair done. Put on that suit or whatever.
Makeup is you flawless. Got your makeup. Then again, it goes back to that superstar mentality. Everyone wants to be. I used to say this for my kid. Everybody wants to be a rap video. Everybody wants to be. So it has translated over to the business world.
Yeah, you can be more than a rapper now. You could be an expert or
absolutely.
Business.
Yeah. So like,
but getting the same results as like some of the like rappers that like don't make it, like who right. just focus their gift in just that one area. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting to say. So I love that when you say, show me your receipts. Show me your receipts. Show me your checkbook.
Yeah. Show me something.
Yeah.
Because at this level, if I'm trying to get information, I need to vet you.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to go somewhere for real with my life, with my business plan.
Right.
If you're going to be my life coach.
Yes.
I need to see your receipts. Who
hired you?
Why are you a life coach?
Right. Because again, going back to people can have a beautiful website. They can have a lot of people following them on social media that it appears to be following them. But are you really, has anybody hired you? And who's hired you? And what has been your track record? But again, you don't know that until you knock on the door, DM them and start having a conversation. And then what I found just spending time with them for the few minutes, you can tell, oh no, they're not. My husband and I were at dinner last night and I overheard a conversation with, you could tell it was a first date. And just some of the stuff that they were saying out, again, based on the conversation, you could tell that they were newly dating. So that same type of perception is that if I see you on social media, but if I sit down with you, I could tell this is her first time. She's only done this a few times.
Right. She's a novice. Like
she's a novice.
Yeah. And even when we were meeting, we were kind of like filling each other out. Like
when we
reunited to kind of put something together because we wanted to bring to the table something of substance.
Absolutely.
So that's important. Like who you partner yourself with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting that you say that because for years when I was not working, I took off 8 years to be with my boys. But I started my business, right? And I'm going somewhere with this. I started my business, but because I purposely wanted to run my business from home and be with my boys when they were younger, I wouldn't take face-to-face meetings.
Oh, interesting.
Everything needed to be online. We could do a video chat because I wanted to be at the park pushing my boys on a swing or sliding on. And one girl told me years later, she's a really good friend of mine, when she wanted to meet with me about something I was doing on marketing, she said, I really did not like the fact that you wanted to do everything you didn't want to do anything face-to-face. And the value of doing face-to-face, because we want to do everything on social media, and I'm an advocate for doing everything online. But when you develop this, what you and I are looking at each other, I can read your body language. This relationship becomes authentic because we're sharing. I can feel you. I can touch you, right? And so the same thing holds true when you see somebody on social media and then you see them in person. I've seen people that have a picture of themselves that was 15 years old. And then when I sit across from them, I'm like, you don't look the same.
Right. So, because you can be whoever you want to be on social media.
You can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
So it's great that you have an online presence, but you have to be that same person that you're projecting online has to be. When I'm sitting across from you, I need to know that you can talk about all the things and the clients that you're representing and all the accolades and all the information that you're showing off on social media.
Right.
I need to be able to feel that when I'm sitting across the table from you.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I've seen a few people make that transition, that they're the same person online that they are.
Isn't that like called authenticity?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's important because you're right. We don't know sometimes what we're getting when we're just looking at someone online. I mean, I have friends who online date and it's like, you know, you hear stories all the time and they're like, oh my God, he definitely had a picture from 10 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Or what he presented at the table, like through our online conversations, was totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that all the time, even in business, that people want to present themselves one way and you get across from them and you start sloppy. You start interacting with them and like, oh my God, why did I waste my time?
Ooh, waste my time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
'Cause time is valuable, especially when you're busy like we are, like having just so many things going on, family and jobs and career, you know, businesses, like you don't have time to waste, not even 10 minutes. Sometimes.
No, you don't.
I'd rather take a nap.
Right. Absolutely.
Can I get a nap? I don't
put that on my calendar.
Time.
I need 15 minutes just to lay down and get some Z's in. But you're right. But I think with conversations like this, with people starting to think about focus and start thinking about being authentic, and we start challenging people to show me your paycheck, show me your receipts. Really examine, even the class that I teach, Brilliant in Business, one of the things that I talk about is, why do you have two different personas on LinkedIn and one on Facebook?
Interesting.
And sometimes people don't.
Because Facebook is like where you get a little loose.
We get a little loose and your
email address on Facebook is bigbootyjudy@gmail.com.
Come on now. Yes,
and
it
on
is.
LinkedIn, you got this professional picture. But
yes.
if you've ever been a boss, I have. I check everybody out on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like Facebook and Instagram is going to tell me a little bit more
yes.
about you. Because you're a little loose,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're a little loose. And then again, we talked about, you know, want to make sure that we talk about our Christian values on this podcast. One of the things that drives me crazy is that on Facebook, you may talk a little bit about God, but you don't feel like you can talk about God on LinkedIn.
Hmm.
Do you not think that they're going to, like you said, to your point as a boss, do you not think that people, whether it's your coworkers or whether it is somebody that a job that you're applying for, they're going to look at both.
Right.
So when we talk about being authentic, people talk about everything. They talk about, you know, their sex life. They talk about everything else. Why not say that I'm a lover of Christ, that I'm unapologetic about that on both. On whatever space I show up in, I show up the same way. Whether it's Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, I'm the same Jillian Blackwell. You're going to get me whether you like it or not. And I don't want to show up differently in a space because I can't give you my authentic self.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, what we're about, I don't know how many years apart we are. I know we're in two different generations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I feel like my generation struggles a little bit more with representing Christ. Like, I think the older you get, the more comfortable you become as just who you are, right?
Yeah,
and I feel like
I agree.
My generation, we like to sprinkle on Jesus. I mean, people may know we're saved,
right.
You know, or if you hear a lot of like people who are advertising now as entrepreneurs, it might have an underlying theme of Christianity.
Yeah, more inspirational than anything.
Yeah, but people are really nervous about just straight up saying, I love Jesus.
And that's interesting, but because we're in a time and a space that people aren't nervous about their sexual orientation. They're not nervous about how they feel politically. They're not nervous about anything else but Christ. Or their religious beliefs.
I see it as like my generation has a lot of issues with the church these days. And I think that if you just flat out say I'm a Christian, you're going to be stereotyped.
Right.
That you can't have fun.
Right.
That we're some crazy group of people that do like cult-like behaviors. I mean, the church over the last 10 years, the state of the church has, in some regards, been in an emergency situation. Like,
yeah.
It's been some crazy stuff going down at church.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, some of our religious leaders has tainted the brand of Christianity.
Right. And so I think a lot of people in my age bracket are like, we do love Jesus.
Right.
But we're careful because we don't want to be seen as like those religious leaders.
Right. You don't want to be associated with that, those group of
crazy
people.
With that brand.
Right.
With that brand that's been created. Because, and not to say that's the right way to go about it, but I mean, I literally talk to a lot of people and they're like, I mean, it's a bad rap right now for Christians.
Well, but in, and so I hear what you're saying, but then I challenge your generation to change the brand. Don't run away from the brand. I mean, let's say, for example, I talked about Google, right? And so Google has this brand, right? They're not going to, the employees of Google are not going to run from the brand. It is their responsibility to change the perception of the brand.
Great point. I agree 100%. Yeah. And I think that's where we're going. But see, what's happening is now we're getting kicked out of our churches for changing the brand. Right? So, like, you're suffering from not just, like, the world, per se. I say that in quotations. But you're suffering from your church, too. There's, like, you're on your...
Church hurt.
Yeah. You're on your own island because... What church wants you to change the brand when they've been doing something for 30 years?
Right.
Like, what makes you think, like, that it's going to be easy, right, to change that brand? You're going to get hell from your pastors.
Right.
Or those, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, Ken, if you think about Jesus himself, he didn't come, I mean, he challenged religious leaders, right?
Absolutely. He changed the brand.
He changed the brand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we will be, I mean, but that means we might have to go to the cross.
And you might have to be persecuted.
And Jesus died. So, I mean, how many of us want to die for real? You know?
Yeah. I mean, there will be some, you know, oftentimes we hurt our own, right? And so it is, I think, again, going back to scripture, Jesus laid out the example that oftentimes the ones that are closest to you, think about, who was that, Judas?
Right.
The ones that are closest to you will be the ones that hurt you, but he didn't give up. And so if you're seeing some wrongs that need to be changed and made right, I would challenge not just the younger generation, those that are, I don't even want to use the word enlightened, but those that see the problems within the body of Christ, to challenge those problems. One of the things that I say right now that's going on within the body of Christ is this black and white thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, and I thank God for the climate now with the current leadership that we have in the office. I thank God that he's in office. Why? Because it's now.
You're about to get our podcast taken off the air.
Let me tell you why. I think it allows the body of Christ to examine themselves. I'll tell you, I as a professional, I had to examine myself with my Caucasian counterparts because of the president of the United States. I woke up many times watching CNN and
he was mad.
I was mad at everybody, right? But because I'm a believer first, yes, I'm an African-American woman, but I'm a child of God first and foremost. So I had to examine myself to say, why am I feeling this way about this white person?
Right.
Because the person is in office, because I don't agree with everything that he's saying. And so I think when God talks about he's coming for a spotless church, one of the spots that we have on the body of Christ is this black and white thing. It's major.
It's absolutely.
And
true.
So I go to a very mixed church. And I think God is shaking some things that not just African Americans or white people, we all have to examine this prejudice, this prejudging thing that we have in our minds. But now some of us are acting out on it. We're being more vocal. We've been more verbal in social media. And we have to sit back and say, wow, I thought the body of Christ should be a little bit better than the world. And we're not.
So I'm here for that. I agree with you. So Jillian Lynn, we got like 3 minutes.
Yes.
I just wanted us to like kind of talk about our future plan for our podcast.
Because
we're launching this great podcast coming up in the new year.
Yes.
So this is kind of like just a little sample because we talk about everything, really all things pertaining to women. But our focus is really business.
Yes.
And workplace.
Yep, absolutely.
Because you got to have a job.
Yep.
Like you can't just have just have a business.
So we're going to talk about business. We're talking about workplace. And one of our... areas that we want to focus on is mentorship. Is that when we think about people, when you even talk about show me your paycheck, and people
show me your receipt. I don't want to see your paycheck.
Right. Show me your receipt.
You can't see my paycheck.
Right.
But you can see my receipt.
You can see my receipt. Yep. Yeah. So when we talk about that, we want to make sure people understand that there is a plan and a process that has been tried and true. And there are people that have gone to where you want to go. And if you follow their lead, if you get their support, if you get their insight and ideas and their knowledge, your road will be a little bit smoother. And so as we step, you know, you were my mentee.
How does she do, listeners? Does she do okay?
Whatever. But I've learned a lot. So a lot of times people think mentors and mentees right. is an age thing. I learned a lot from Latrice.
Right.
And so it could just be it doesn't have to be somebody that's older. It could be somebody that has more wisdom.
Exactly.
And so we really want to focus on mentorship because that's so important. I came from a family of seven. I have five older sisters. And I learned a lot from them just by observing.
Right.
From relationships to school and everything. And so some of the mistakes that they made, as the youngest sister, I didn't have to do that. And so we want to make sure that we bring women along, that some of the mistakes that others before us made or we made, they don't have to make.
Absolutely. Agreed. And that's so important because I always say I have friends and, you know, I'm 36. I'll be 37 mm-hmm. Next month.
Wow.
And
she's so old.
I know. I'm so old, right? But I have friends who, if I ask them, like, who's your mentor? They don't have anything. They don't know how to answer the question. Yeah. They don't have a mentor.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
And so we're going to work on that. We're going to help them with that.
Yeah. We got some women we're going to bring in the studio who are phenomenal. Yeah. And men.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
men.
Absolutely.
Who are phenomenal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to it. So we talked about women, entrepreneurship, mentorship. What else are we going to talk about?
Business. We have to talk about business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm all about that. Did you say entrepreneurship?
Already? I did say entrepreneurship.
So then that's business then. Okay, yep. I didn't hear that part.
Yep. So mentorship, business, entrepreneurship. Because business can be business in corporate America as well.
Absolutely. Because we need to talk about people keeping their job.
Don't quit your job.
Don't quit your day
boo-boo.
Job. Yes. Boo-boo.
Boo-boo, don't do that.
Don't quit your job.
Yes.
Because.
Yet.
Yes. Right. Yes. It will come that day, but get your money up.
Get your money up.
Yeah. Learn what you need to learn in the workplace so that you can manage other people.
Make it plain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so we talk about sprinkle of Jesus. We are going to talk about Christ, too, because that's we got to make sure that people know who we are.
Yeah, everything from a Christian perspective.
Absolutely.
So I think that's it. We're going to kind of close out now.
We're going to wrap it up.
This was fun.
This was a lot of fun. I'm so looking forward to more podcasts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting in the mind of Jillian. She's always promoting other people. Yes. So I'm looking forward to asking her questions across the table.
Absolutely. I love it. Okay. Well, let's call it a wrap, Latrice.
Sounds good. I got stuff to do today.
Okay, we got to focus.
Right, focus.
All right.
All right.